labor forum today. We have two guests in the studio. We're really excited about this interview because we've been talking about low-wage workers here on WRFG's labor forum for many, many months, ever since really the campaign.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, live from Chicago. Junior Show. Keep it right here. It should be fun.
All right, folks, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. We got to keep this up. We got to keep it going. We got construction going on next door, so I hope there's no option into the show, that there probably will be some. But welcome to the show, folks. It's a great day outside. It's wonderful. I'm in my studio looking out on the Broadway, and everybody, it looks like summer, but that's deceiving. But however, I'm hearing that the weather in Chicago is going to be 80 degrees tomorrow. Of course, it's going to be cool into the lake. And wherever you are and wherever you're listening around the world, folks, I hope you guys are having, and girls, day. I hope the weather is wonderful where you are. And it's great. Most of you guys, if you were looking for yesterday's show, I had to delete it. It wasn't what I wanted to put on, but somehow I had to just get rid of it. Anyway, let's move right along. Paul Ryan and the GOP said some of these guys cannot support Donald Trump. They just cannot do it. The Bushes can't do it. I mean, as I was stating on yesterday's show before it was deleted because of the problems, but as I was stating on yesterday's show, I mean, I think it's unfair for these guys, the Republicans, to not support Donald Trump, who is also a Republican. I mean, this is crazy. The man is going to be the nominee. He could be the president of the United States, because the emails are still biting up Hillary's ass, her emails. And some people are talking about saying that she could be indicted for this. Who knows? Her private email instead of her government issued email. Okay. If I can get that correctly. Okay. But I still think Donald Trump is going to be. Republicans are saying they're not going to show up at the convention. I mean, a lot. I mean, when you think about it, and they are totally pissed, a lot of them, but Paul Ryan, John McCain, a lot of these Republicans, the establishment, they are not behind Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is a Republican. And I think this is just crazy on their part, because what are they doing? If they reject Donald Trump, they're rejecting all the voters that put him over the top. Do not blame Donald Trump. Blame the people who voted for him. I mean, this is democracy. And the people wanted Donald Trump. They got Donald Trump. They want Donald Trump. Why can't the Republican Party, the Republican establishment, see that? I just don't understand it. If you don't want Donald Trump in the White House, you're going against the majority of the voters in the Republican Party, the Republican base, who put him there. They want him. So Congress, the House of Representatives, if they do not back Donald Trump, they're going against the popular vote, in my estimation. You know, I just think it's pathetic, you know. And on the Democratic side, Hillary, they're saying she's unbeatable. But Bernie Sanders is hanging in there because he feels that there might be a little luck on his side. So obviously, Hillary Clinton is going after Donald Trump, but she has to realize that Bernie Sanders is up her skirt almost. She has to realize he's right behind her. He hasn't left the race. The two, Cruz and Kasich, they've left Donald Trump. Donald Trump is all by himself. Remember when there was 17 of them on stage debating a few months ago? Now there's down to just one, Donald Trump. And everybody on that stage was trying to ruin Donald Trump. They talked about him. Them too. So, I mean, it was like a war of words between the Republicans with the Republicans. You know, so this is my thinking. You know, 347-857-1762. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. Let's hope we don't have any disruptions. I do have a guest today. I'm not going to say her name because I don't want to screw it up if it's a her, period. But anyway, this is going to be interesting, folks. This is totally going to be interesting, especially going into the Republican convention. This is going to be totally, totally interesting. And, you know, I'm not a Donald Trump supporter. I'm not blowing his horn or anything. I'm just going by what the people on the Democratic side of the aisle, and they want Hillary Clinton instead of Bernie Sanders. But I'm still a Bernie Sanders fan. You know, I'll be a Bernie Sanders fan until he drops out of the race, maybe even beyond then. But the people spoke in the Donald Trump victories. The people spoke. Even Donald Trump said he was overwhelmed at all the support and so many people voting for him. African Americans have voted for him. But he's steadfast on getting rid of Muslims, getting rid of the illegals out of the United States. And a lot of people like that. They love that. Obviously, President Obama doesn't like it because he wants them all to stay. Someone once said if Obama wants illegals to stay in the United States, they should come live with him because he's the one who's not deporting them or not deporting them fast enough. But Donald Trump says they got to go. He's saying basically they if they're legal, they can stay. But if they're not, they have to go. And a lot of the Hispanic groups and advocates are up in arms over that. They're protesting Donald Trump about throwing illegals out of the United States. I don't see anything wrong with that because if Americans go to Mexico illegally, Mexico is going to deport us back to the U.S., I think one of the things that's wrong with America, we have a lot of weak laws, or we have laws that we do not enforce, and that's okay with some of those folks up in Congress. Donald Trump is saying something, you know, that's resonating with a lot of people, and the Republicans are they just don't want him. They just don't want him. I think that a lot of them feel that Donald Trump is still a liberal. They think that he is somewhat a Democrat. Because Ted Cruz, he's a straight-up far-right GOP or a conservative. Because, I mean, his campaign was talking about he was going to shred every inch of Obamacare. That meant he was going to I'm thinking he's referring to ISIS. But you know, if you listen to Ted Cruz, you know, he just wanted a war. And I do think Ted was a lot worse, a bad president than Donald Trump would ever be. And as I've stated before, Hillary Clinton still dogging her. They're going to be dogging her even if she wins the presidency. Domination of Donald Trump it sure is a win for Hillary Clinton. A lot of people are saying that, even some progressives are saying that. Well, Donald Trump has some baggage. There's no doubt about that. Bully. I mean, he has a problem with strong women. Muslims don't like him. And the Hispanics, I think every one of them is going to vote against him. You know, he may need those. Hillary Clinton is not going to deport them. She's not going to throw them out of the country. She's not going to do anything with Muslims. And up against Donald Trump, I understand she would beat him. She would beat him. You know, I think up against Kasich or Cruz or any GOP candidate, she would probably beat them. Even Bernie Sanders up against Donald Trump, he would beat Donald Trump. He would smother Donald Trump. All right, so you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We will be right back, folks. We're going to take a break right here and see if we can. All right, thank you, and welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm broadcasting straight up out of Chicago, and we had some difficulties yesterday on the show, and that should be hopefully rectified, but you never know what can happen. And I want to thank everybody out there who's been saying some great things about the show, great things about me, and great things about what I do or try to do. And I just can't get over that. I mean, it's overwhelming. I mean, my show has been called the finest show in the city of Chicago. And that just meant so much to me, folks. I mean, I could have fell down and hit my head on the ground. I was so taken back by that. And I thank the people for saying those things. Yeah. Okay, Donald Trump, this is fascinating, folks. The reason why I'm talking about it, because it's so fascinating that the Republicans are actually trying to upend Donald Trump, you know, by not attending the election, by not supporting him or endorsing him, although he's getting plenty of endorsements and from prominent people also. But it's just awful. I mean, the people have spoken. They want Donald Trump. What's wrong with the establishment? The people have spoken. This is a democracy. The people have spoken. And they are still trying to upend him. I mean, you've got governors who say they're not going to support him. You've got people in the House of Representatives saying and these are Republicans, saying that they're not going to support him. You got senators saying that they're not going to support him. You know, and when you're not doing that, you're going against the people who
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
All right, folks, let's take a break right here. We should be right back. Here we go.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
Come on, man. I dig the band. Come.
This is the Talk of Our Times. The Talk of Our Times. Let's talk, everybody. Broadcasting from Chicago. This is the Talk of Our Times. The Talk of Our Times. Let's talk, everybody.
Something's wrong with that volume. We're going to have to get that fixed. But it's fun, folks. I'm having a great time. I'm having a wonderful time. It's great. Like I said before, we're having construction next door, and that might play a problem in the broadcast, as it always does. But it's great to see things going up, things building, and people being happy. Because I'm going to say this, and I have to say it, because we're 10 months, we may be going into 11 months without a state budget in the state of Illinois. I know you heard me talk about this many, 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 many. Folks, this is just totally. I heard the governor speaking, the governor of Illinois, Bruce Rauner. He was speaking about something pertaining to the Lucas Museum, George Lucas. Of course, you know, he's the creator of Star Wars. And I'm saying this guy is talking about a museum that is supposed to be hopefully built in this on the lakefront in the city of Chicago. It would be such a great attraction. And I think that it should be built. I actually want it to be built. I mean, because I want my family and I want to attend. I mean, it would bring so many jobs, because Illinois is suppressed when it comes to jobs. Bruce Rauner, the governor, has, you know, caused more unemployment than the state has ever seen. And as I was saying, I heard him speak not too long ago, and he was talking about the Lucas Museum. And my thing was, what? This guy, every time he comes on television and says something, he never talks about the 10-month budget. We are headed up on not having a budget for a second time, as if that doesn't mean anything to him. He doesn't mention it. He doesn't talk about it. He talks about some bill he signed. But we know that he did not sign a bill to take Illinois out of the gutter. He did not sign a budget. And we're coming up on another fiscal year where we may still not have a budget. Going into maybe 2 years without a budget. And when he speaks, he never says, well, there's no budget, so I don't give a damn. He doesn't even mention that there's no budget. But everybody in the state of Illinois, especially if they're getting any kind of a check, money paid, their salary, wages, or anything, we know that there should be a budget. Every time someone's protesting him, and that's all the time, they're protesting not having a budget in the state of Illinois. I mean, I've been talking about this since this guy took office about a year or so ago. And I've been talking about him. I didn't sense not to vote for the guy, but a lot of people did not. And I keep saying this over and over again. It's a broken record. The reason why he is in office is because people did not vote. If people were voting like they vote in these primaries, this guy would have never been in the office. But I've said on many shows, he's got until 2018. He's got two terms in office, but I don't think he's going to run for a second term. There is no way this guy can run for a second term when his polling numbers are in the gutter and people basically do not like him. And his polling numbers are in the gutter. So therefore, he will have an opponent. Someone will be trying to take his job if he decides he wants to run again in 2018. But my thing is, he may just be taken out of office in handcuffs, because what he's doing to this state is a goddamn crime. It's a crime. The guy is not doing his job. Only thing he's doing is making things a lot worse in the city of Chicago. He is not doing his job. I mean, if you or I did not do our jobs, they would fire us. Why can't we do this with this governor who's not doing his job. Doing your job is not slashing and burning needed programs. That's not doing your job. Doing your job is signing a budget into law, because that's what's on the state constitution. A governor has to sign a budget into law. When he's not doing that, he is actually shredding the constitution, because he doesn't give a damn. A governor is supposed to make a state better, not make it worse. You get a job and your supervisor looks at you and you doing your job, you making that job a lot worse than that supervisor wanted you to, you're out of there. But like I said before, Bruce Rauner is a done deal. He's a done deal. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. Show on the Block Talk Radio. All right, let's go to the phones, folks. Hopefully this will work. Hi, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Tanya Verkaitis calling in from Pennsylvania.
Okay, you know what? I got your name on my screen, but I did not want to mess it up. That's why I did not say
that's all
right. I said, I don't want to mess a name up. You know, I said, so how do you say it? It's Tiana Verkaitis or something?
Tanya.
See how I screwed it up? Tanya. Okay, all right. Okay, Tanya, tell everybody, tell all the listeners, give them a little bit of your bio and what you are all about.
Yeah, definitely. So I started a company called Eco Arts Living. It's all about living a life that's more meaningful. The thought process being that we spend so much time being concerned and worried about the past and the future that we don't take time to enjoy the moment that we have right now. But also, how can we channel that stress into something more meaningful and then find little spots of time where we can actually create space for ourselves to breathe.
Okay.
And that's the general gist.
That's it?
the general gist.
I'm reading something here. I believe that we all have a true self that is anxious to be realized. I spent years putting my career and my children before my own well-being. A few years ago, I found myself feeling my lowest. I was drained.
So about 2 years ago, I actually went
right into the hospital
rather unexpectedly. And what I found was me giving all of my time to my family and a business that I helped to start. I was putting myself on the back burner. And not only that, but I wasn't even really happy with what I was doing. So how could I try to recreate myself, I guess? And that's scary. I mean, we all have bills to pay, right? And what can we do to try and make our time more meaningful? And that's where this whole endeavor started.
Oh.
It kind of took me a year to get here, but I'm here, and I'm much happier. I may not have as much money in the bank, but that's okay.
Oh, wow. Have you written a book?
I did not write a book. I have a blog. And what I talk about mostly is, are you familiar with mindfulness? The practice of mindfulness?
I think I've heard about it.
Yeah. So a lot of what they talk about is meditation and being more aware of your thought process. And I call myself a failed meditator all the time, because I'm not that person that's just going to sit and try and take in good vibes and let out good vibes. I felt like I failed at that because my mind was constantly racing. But what I did find is, well, I like to garden. When I'm out there by myself digging in the dirt, it is a form of meditation. So I think,
digging
in the dirt, literally. But, you know, people sometimes feel, okay, I'm overweight and I need to diet. And so you force yourself to do this diet, or you force yourself to go to the gym, and you end up failing. So you feel worse about yourself than you did to begin with. Whereas try and find something that will get you active and outdoors that's fun. Or maybe you just like food, but try new things and maybe try things that are healthier. So you're still accomplishing
okay.
the task, but without it being like mm-hmm. this crutch and ball and chain that you're dragging around and something you're trying to follow that isn't meaningful to you. Because we can't make change if we're not enjoying what we do to make the change.
Mm-hmm. Do you think of yourself as a motivational speaker trying to help those who may have gone through some of the things that you've gone through?
Definitely. I have started doing coaching, and that's kind of what came mm-hmm. out of this process because I had to find what worked for me. And I think if you just pick up a book
mm-hmm.
or if you see something on TV and it's like, ooh, I don't know if you've ever seen like those 4-minute HIIT exercises. And they say, do this high impact training once a day for 4 minutes and you'll change your body in 3 weeks. Well, I didn't even want to do the 4 minutes, you know, like it wasn't motivating. But what do
yes,
I like
yes.
to do? I like to dance. So turn on the oh. radio, turn on some Prince right now, especially. And just dance.
Yeah.
It doesn't
yeah,
have to be
yeah.
some prescribed thing.
Yeah.
And the coaching
I love
where it. I hope to kind of share that. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. No. Go right ahead. I was going to say I love dancing. I think it's great. I think it does something positive for your mind. I think it's a form of exercise, a movement.
Exactly.
And it's a form of exercise, a movement. And it's fun. I mean, if you're going to exercise where it's fun. A lot of people
right.
dread exercise, but you shouldn't dread it. You should do exercise, but, you know, do some fun exercises.
Exactly. And again, since you have to interact with your children, when my kids come home from school
mm-hmm.
and I throw on music and I say, let's dance around the living room, they tell me I'm crazy, but they dance and they'll remember
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And it is
an
activity.
Well,
it's not something I'm buying them.
Yeah, why do kids think we're nuts? I just don't understand it. I mean,
I think because, you know, I mean, before I was a parent, I always thought of my mother as being, well, she's my mentor. She's an authority figure.
Mm-hmm.
She's done there. She's
mm-hmm.
doing things properly. So they're supposed to be kind of these, like, somber professional people or something. I have no idea.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
In my mind, I may have 2 children. I have one that's turning 12 in 2 weeks, and I constantly
mm-hmm.
say, I feel like a 12-year-old inside. I don't know how I got here. I don't know why I'm an adult. I don't know why I'm someone's mother, but I am.
You know, I have a son too, also turning 17 in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got a teenager, you say you have a 12-year-old. I mean,
yeah, that's different.
That is totally different. That's like night and day.
right. But you probably still feel as young as heart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a mess sometimes, but I love him. Before we go any further, I want to say Happy Mother's
mm-hmm.
Day. It's Sunday.
Oh, thank you.
No problem.
Thank you so
no
much.
Problem. Happy Mother's Day. Okay. Did you explain to the audience exactly what is a life coach? Is a life coach something like someone who motivates someone or just take clients to the side and try to give them some kind of, some kind of way where they can always feel positive so they can get things done in their lives? If I said that
yeah.
correctly.
So I think people sometimes think of a life coach as being similar to a psychiatrist. And I think
we
are part psychiatrist, but we're also part mentor. And really what you're supposed to do as a good life coach, I believe, is be someone's biggest cheerleader, basically. So let's say you're trying to start a new endeavor, for instance, and you want to know what would be your next best step. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what to do. I'm going to listen to the process that you started. I'm going to listen
mm-hmm.
to what some of your setbacks are, and I'm going to listen to where you feel like you have the biggest strength. And then I'm going to take what you said and help you realize what's the best path for you. So I'm not saying, here's your homework, go out and do A, B, C, and D. I'm saying you said this, and it sounds to me like you're having some problems in this area, so maybe the best way to fix that would be, maybe I can suggest a book to you. Maybe I suggest that you even find someone in that profession that can guide you. But it's just helping you find ways past blockages without telling you what to do.
Oh, wow. Have you been successful at that?
Yeah, I started off primarily doing more relationship coaching. And I think a lot of times, and we can all attest to the fact that we repeat the same patterns in relationships, and then we wonder why things aren't working or why we find ourselves in the same position again. And just helping people realize maybe what you think it is that you want or need isn't exactly what you want or need. Or maybe you should try something different because you may find that someone who's absolutely different from you is the perfect complement to you. Maybe you're competing with these people that you're trying to be with. You know, there could be lots of different things, but how do you approach the whole relationship process differently?
Okay, speaking of relationships, some relationships, not all relationships, you find quite a bit of domestic abuse. How would you inform a client on that who's suffering from that, what to do and how to do?
Right. Well, domestic abuse is a hard one because I think it depends on understanding whether or not they're in a situation that they have absolutely no control of, or is it a situation that you're contributing to? A, you have to help someone understand that they always have choices. You do not have to stay in a place where you are completely unhappy and under physical or psychological stress. Second, understanding how you allow this situation to be perpetuated. And by no means am I saying that maybe someone's getting what they deserve or they ask for it or any of that sort of mentality, but more understanding at what point should I walk away? At what point should I know enough is enough? And then understanding what resources are available to you. You may not have a family that can take you in or give you money, but there's tons of services out there for people who are in those types of situations. And sometimes it's a matter of swallowing your pride and going and asking for help. And that's not easy. I think especially with abuse, most times people want to hide it. It's kind of a shameful thing. But if you're not the abuser, you have nothing to be ashamed of at
all. Right. A lot of these services that you've spoken about for you know, abused women, especially in the city of Illinois, have dried up. I mean, the budget cuts, the funding mess, you know, have dried up. And the reason why I brought up domestic abuse, because that's one of the things you deal with in some of these relationships. And as you've just got through saying, you don't know if the woman had, most of the time it's the guy beating on the woman, if the woman has egged on this guy to do harm to her. And
you talked about the resources being dried up. There is some of that, but I mean, I come from a nonprofit background. There are more nonprofits out there than you can imagine. They may not be the traditional resources that you think you can go to, but I think even if you go to one of these places, and let's say they say, you know, we no longer have funds for 2016 to get you housing, or we don't have funds to help you buy clothes, whatever the case may be, there's always some sort of network of people who have been there and been through it. And there's groups where you can go and talk about your experience. And by verbalizing and vocalizing, you will meet other people that can give you advice who have been there before you and point you in the right direction. So even if that resource, a woman's resource center, let's say, doesn't have anything applicable, there will be someone there that can advise you in the right direction. So yes, the first door may not.
In other words, you're saying there's,
but there'll be others.
There's these programs are still going on through private funding.
Not so much that they're going on through private funding. It's more so that even I'd say a lot of the places that are out there right now that aren't the mainstream organizations, they are struggling. They're not getting private funding. They can barely keep their doors open. But those people are the ones that are truly dedicated to change. Those are the people that are going to find a way somehow, somewhere, to get you the help that you need. And in those doors, you're going to find people like yourself who have experience and can point you in other directions, even if that place isn't the place that does it for you.
All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me. I'm all over the place. I want to ask you something about we're going to divert a little bit. What do you what do you think about the death of Prince? What do you think about the death of Prince?
Well, I saw Prince back in 2000 in concert in a teeny tiny venue, and he was amazing. I think he's a great artist.
Yeah.
I think that we've definitely lost someone that brought something different to the musical scene. But at the same time, I don't know. I do not need to see it on my news every 10 minutes. So will he be missed? Yes. Do I appreciate his artistry? Well, for sure.
Well, but they're trying to say it's...
I don't know.
Well, they're trying to say that it's a drug overdose. He overdosed on drugs. He,
right.
He was a drug addict. It sounds something similar like the death of Michael Jackson. I mean, pain pills, sleeping pills, because these guys were entertainers. And they just about did a concert every night. And it was hard for them sometimes to sleep. And so they needed... And they were jumping all over the stage and all this kind of thing. But it's very, very, very sad that Prince passed away at the age of 57. To me, that's young. I mean,
young. It's very young.
Yeah,
drug allegations have not been completely cleared up or set in stone. And
exactly.
Who knows what someone's personal demons are and what they've been through. And from what I understand, he's had a lot of changes. You know, he became a Jehovah's Witness. I guess I heard that he was celibate. So who knows what's going on outside of the public figure that we see. So it's just sad and unfortunate.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
And
you don't know what's going on.
For him. Yeah. And when you're mainstream, you can't just walk into your local clinic.
Are you planning on writing a book?
I actually have started a book of fiction that I've been working on, slightly memoir-esque, but not really. I feel that I've had a lot of different experiences with my parents being West African and living through Civil War and personal experiences as a woman that I feel are experiences that a lot of different people can relate to. And even if they have not had the same thing happen, they, again, can help people through challenging times. That goes back to the reason why I'm a coach, sort of. You know, that kind of no judgment zone. I've been there, and if I haven't been there, I'm certainly not going to judge you. So that's the sort of book that I'm trying to write.
All right. As soon as you write it, let us all know.
We will. I will. It's just me. I'm not schizophrenic.
All right. You've been on... Okay, you've been on other radio shows, too.
I have. Most recently, I was actually on the Urban Farm podcast, which was amazing.
Okay. That's great. That's wonderful. Is there something you have not said on this show that you would like to say to my audience?
I would say primarily the message that I'd like to leave people with is that there's always a way. There's always an answer. Do not ever doubt yourself. And in the process, allow yourself to be vulnerable, because then you will find the best you.
Yeah. Would you like, once this show is over, it's going to be archived, it's going to be recorded, would you like a link to this show? Maybe you can put it up on your blog.
Definitely. I plan to, so please do send me a link. I would love to share your show with the rest of the world.
No, you're not basically sharing my show. You're sharing your talk. You know, it's going to be it's going to be a link sharing your talk, because basically I'm going to tell you something. When people actually, they don't actually tune in to me to hear me talk. they tune in to hear the guests on my show. So
right.
They will, you know, it's you. You know, I'm just a vehicle that's out here. But it's you that they're tuning into, because before you even on the show, I'm marketing your show to on websites here, there, and there, and here.
Right.
And once the show is over, I'm going to continue to market it. So with your name out there, not mine, yours, because it's about what you're doing. Most people know what I'm doing, but what you're doing. And what's so funny?
I'm just laughing because he said most people know what you're doing.
Oh, well, you know, so, yeah, they know what I'm doing, and, you know, but they know this is a talk. Okay, they know that this is a talk show, and I do have guests on it, and it's the guest that I'm pushing more so than I'm pushing myself, because, you know, the show is pretty popular. And so far, you sound like a person that can probably have her own show.
I would like to. I started a podcast with my last job. I had one that was geared primarily to nonprofits, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I have started a new podcast. I've only interviewed 4 people. So slowly but surely.
Oh, no problem. No problem. When you have your own show, make sure I'm your first guest.
Aw. I'd love to have you on.
No problem. I hope to have you back. You were great. You were wonderful. And you provided some great insight into what you do. And give everybody, let them know where they can find your blog.
Definitely. So you can find me at www.eco, that's ecoartsliving.com. And from there, you'll find my blog, my podcast, information about coaching, should you be interested in coaching, and also a contact form where you can reach me.
Oh, that sounds great. I would love to have you back on the show sometime in the future.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
No problem. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Thanks for being on the show.
No problem.
Okay. There we go, folks. There we go. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. That went pretty good, and there was no breaks in it. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
the hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, I got an echo in my ears somewhere. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. It's fun. It's great. I'm broadcasting live out of Chicago. It is, what time is it? 6:57, a couple of minutes before 7 o'clock. And this is great. I want to thank Tanya for being on my show, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly. I can never pronounce names correctly. I'm bad at that. But we got to get better at something, folks. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks for tuning in. Follow me on Facebook, Black Talk Radio, and all of that good stuff. She was a life coach. I love people coming on the show telling us what they're doing and how to make our lives better because, you know, that's what this show is all about. It's trying to make the world a better place. It's going to be tough, you know, but that's what most of us in radio and in television, especially talk show, we try to make the world, we want to make the world a better place. And I love having people on my show who are at least trying to make the world a better place. It's an uphill climb, folks, but somebody has to do it. Okay, smart quiz question. Do we have that clip for that smart quiz question? Let's see if we can cue it up. Okay.
It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George.
All right. The smart quiz question for the day. Thursday. It's Thursday, folks. That means I'm going to have 3 days off to write and to think, to meditate and whatever, to make love, whatever, you know. So it's Thursday. You know, if you're listening to the show, if you after it's been recorded, I mean, you know, it's a belated show. Okay, smart quiz question. In what month do we vote for President of the United States? That should be totally easy because this is the month of May now. But however, and this is an election year in the United States, so we know that the month that we vote for president is November. I'm thinking it's the first Tuesday of November, but you know, they screw with the calendar so much, you never know anymore what's happening. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. That was the smart quiz question. We always try to have a smart quiz question on the show. I think it makes the show a little bit more, I don't know, tamer, nicer, you know, I mean, none of the questions are hard. They're all easy. I mean, sometimes they're so damn easy and elementary. I'm ashamed of having them on the show, but hey, it makes for good conversation. Or, you know, people trying to, you know, let me see what it is. It's November. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and it is Chicago, and I want to go back to what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, and that was Trump. It's beautiful to know that people are out here, whether you're voting for Trump, Hillary, or Bernie, It's a beautiful thing, folks. It really is a beautiful thing to see people exercising their right to vote. And they have voted in droves for Clinton, for Trump, and for Bernie. Have you seen Bernie's crowds? I mean, you look at Bernie Sanders' crowds, and you would think he should win everything. Look at those crowds. I mean, Bernie has come from so far down. Bernie was so far down, he was looking up at Hillary Clinton's feet. So you have to give him some credit for moving up the ladder the way he did and beating Clinton in some states. And you know what? By some miracle, it has to be a miracle, he could pull this off and upset Clinton. Clinton is now paying, as I've said, diverting most of the attention away from Bernie Sanders to Donald Trump. That may be wrong. She still has Bernie Sanders to deal with, but she's so confident that, you know, he can't catch her, especially in the delegate count, that she's, you know, diverting her attention from him to Donald Trump. That may be a good thing. It may not be a good thing, but Bernie says he's not dropping out, you know, so he said he's going all the way to the convention, you know. And I don't think Bernie should drop out. He's got that. I mean, you look at Bernie now, and it seems like he's aged 10 years. Okay, so he, instead of being 74, he looks 84. And a lot of, and that's, I'm not saying that in a bad way. And a lot of people are saying, some people are saying that he's just too old. He may die in office. He may die before, you know, this thing is over. But let's not think bad about him. I mean, Bernie Sanders is Bernie Sanders. He should, what Bernie Sanders has done to me should give all seniors and some elderly people hope that they can accomplish anything at any age, whether you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, on into your 90s, you can still accomplish great things. Do not let age be a bearer. And I'm talking about seniors now. Do not let your age be. Look at Bernie Sanders. Look at Hillary Clinton. I believe she's around 67 or 68. So we have seniors in this thing, and they are just as energetic. They are pumped up. They are positive. They are traveling from state to state, jumping on planes and jumping off planes and jumping back on to a plane to go to the next primary, the next city, the next state. They're campaigning like crazy. And these are people who aren't seniors. So, you know, this should tell a lot of seniors, you can do what you want. Do not let age stop you. 70, 80, 90, still do what you want to do, because being busy and being doing what you love, you're going to live a lot longer. If you're idle, not doing anything, laying on the couch, popping, you know, pills and cakes and ice cream, and you're bloated, your gut, I mean, you ain't got time. You're going to die. What can I say? I'm not a real fan of Michelle Obama's, but I will agree with her in her attempts to get people to exercise. You have to exercise. The older you get, the more you need exercise. Exercise can keep your ass around. Exercise for the senior can keep the senior from having bad trips and falls, you know, where a senior may fall or elderly person may fall and not be able to get up unless they have some sort of medical bracelet that can, but still in all, a senior will not be able to get up off the floor. But if you exercise constantly every day, all day, you have no problem getting up off that floor. If you're 60, 70, 80 or 90, you can get rolled right off that floor like you were in your 20s or something. Exercise and thinking positive. I'm not a life coach. I leave that to the people who come on the show. But I do like to try to make the world a better place. And I'm steadfast when it comes to seniors, because, you know, and elderly, because we are going to be there. We are going to be there one day. I've written a book, Elder Abuse and the Old Man, and it's getting a lot of good vibes. I've gotten a couple of five-star reviews for the it's a short story, but it's a great short story. I do a lot of short stories, folks, because I always feel that the short story stands right there with the 300-page novel. It does. It does. And a lot of times I do short stories because they are what? They're short. I mean, I don't want to spend 2 and 3 years writing a 400-page novel that sits there and does nothing on Amazon when I can write a short story and it moves like wildfire, you know. So I'm a short story writer. You know what? When I talk, I just divert from one thing to the next thing to the next. I'm just, hey, what can you say? It's a talk show. And it's a very popular show. And like I told her, I'm going to send her my guest. I'm going to send her a link to the show. I try to send all my guests that's on the show who I want to be on the show a link, not to promote my show, but to promote them being on my show. I want to get that straight because I don't want people thinking, well, he wants me to promote his show. And a lot of times some of the guests come up, they don't mind promoting the show. Some people promote my show that has never been on my show. When I give out a link to the show, I don't give out a link to the show so people can see that it's the George Wilder Jr. show. I give out a link because I want people to listen to the guests that just appeared on my show. And she or he needs that link from my show so that their clients, their fans, the people who come by their website can listen to them talk. You know, find out a little bit more about them, you know. So, and a lot of the authors that come on the show, most of them already have links on their show from other radio show, talk shows and TV spots and stuff like that. And my show would just be another show. And then sometimes I'll send people a link to my show and they will not put it up because they feel like they're promoting my show and they're not. I send them a link so they can promote themselves, not me. Even though it's my show and I will be heard, but the people, their fans, their clients will call to listen to them, you know, and they expect me to be a host to their, you know, potential clients. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio 708 Straight Up, and we were, I hope I'm not too close up on this microphone. That can happen. All righty. So it's a great day. It's a great day. It's a great day. It's a great day. Let's see what else we can move on about. It's 7:08 and it's beautiful outside and it's wonderful. And I want to talk about domestic abuse if I can a little bit. I touched on it.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Yeah, I want to have spoken with Donald Trump. These people have spoken, and I don't understand the Republican establishment trying to ruin him, even though he's a winner. The people spoke, and they don't want nothing to do with Donald Trump. They really don't. And that's sad. That's bad. I mean, you know, he may not be, if he should be elected president, he may not wind up being such a bad president. But I know from from following him and following Ted Cruz that Donald Trump would make a better president, not a great president, but a better president than Ted Cruz ever would be. Folks, you did not want to see Ted Cruz. When Ted Cruz dropped out of the race, you know, all of us said, oh, my God, thank Jesus, you know, because this guy would have wrecked Obamacare, your health care. He would have, I mean, wars would have been up the kazoo. I'm not saying Donald Trump is going to make America great again, like he always saying. That's all he's ever been saying. I'm going to make America great again. And Hillary Clinton says America already has been great. I don't think America is great. I think America is good. I think America can be great. And, you know, I think it's, I mean, when you see the, because I've checked it out, America is, so, you know, it's America is a good country. It's better than a lot of other countries because so many other countries disrespect women that they, especially some of the Middle Eastern countries, they disrespect women like I don't know what. And I'm talking about child domestic abuse. And a lot of these countries just, I mean, you're a woman, you can't even, you know, walk down the street unless you're told to. And human rights in a lot of countries are just appalling. I think they should work on some human rights policies in Cuba and in China and some other countries. However, in America, you know, women are just as equal as some men, but not in pay in so many instances. But when women do have a better shot at things in America than they do in some other countries. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762. That is my number. You can call in, folks, and we can chat and talk, or you can just sit back, lay back, and listen to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I hope you enjoyed my guest today. She was beautiful. She was wonderful. And like I said before, and I keep saying the same thing, but I just have to keep reiterating that I try to get the best people for the show. The best people. I just don't go around and just saying, you know, this or that. But I want to apologize to my guest yesterday, Yolanda L. Robinson. She was the guest on the show yesterday. We had all kinds of technical difficulties on that, and I'm pretty sure she was pretty pissed off. But, you know, I'm apologizing, and I always do. I'm always so humble to my guests because I always want them to come back and be a part of the show again and tell us what they can do. But I want to say I apologize to her. The show no longer exists because we had to delete it because it was so, I mean, some parts of it was okay, but, you know, we had to do that part. But, you know, we do what we can. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, open our eyes. Thank you.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
Yes, folks, we're going to be off the air. Okay, someone just whispered in my ear, 90 seconds. Okay, let's try to make this a quick one. All right, we're not going to be on the air tomorrow, Friday. We're off the air Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays. We have other things to do, but we are back on the air Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of each and every week, you know, unless there's, you know, something I have to deal with real quickly, and it happens on those days. But basically we are back on the air Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, starting at 6:30 till 7:30, maybe 8 o'clock, depends on how things go on the show. And I want to thank everybody for listening and join me Monday. And please join me Monday and all through the week, you know, all through the week next Monday. It's a great show. It's a great time. And once again, I want to say thanks, everybody, for all your adulations and all your positive things about me and the show. I've had some criticism, but most of all, there's been real good responses to what I do. All right. I hope you guys join me Monday. Oh, my God. No, I didn't.